Welcome back to the Inner Fight Endurance Podcast, episode number 183. Wow, what a week. We have just wrapped up the Inner Fight Endurance Chamonix Run Camp. I don't want to tell you too much about it because we're going to be doing a full debrief of what happened, what the routes were, who came, the highs, the lows, the struggles on next week's show once I have Tom Walker back. Currently, he's driving somewhere in the UK, maybe Wales, maybe England. I don't actually know. So I'm doing the introduction again on my own. We are brought to you, as always, by Hoka. Now, my shoe of choice for this Chamonix Run Camp was the Hoka Speed Goat 5. Did you know that they do them standard, the standard Speed Goat 5? They also did them in Gore-Tex. They do them in something called Gore-Tex Mid. I don't actually know what that is. I need to have a look. And they do them in Gore-Tex Spike. They do men's sizes, women's sizes, and there are 4, 8, 12, 16 different colorways that you can choose from. They have regular width and wide width. Why was it my shoe of choice? And why did three runners that were with us buy this shoe in Chamonix? It's because, in their own words, it's a workhorse designed for technical trails. There is a Vibram Mega Grip sole with traction lugs. I can speak from experience here that they will hold you onto the trail and you can stick your foot down and take off with confidence when you're climbing and descending, when the ground is dry, when it's wet, on soft forest, on firm rock, when it's slippy and other shoes would slide around. You can actually slide down snow in these things and run confidently in snow on these things. Head to hoka.com, check out the shoes, check out the colorways. I assure you, you will not be disappointed if you get the Speed Goat 5s. Also, in other news, Ladies Run Club Summer Plan. If you are a lady, if you're based in Dubai or outside of Dubai, and you're part of the Ladies Run Club, the sessions will unfortunately finish for the summer next week. However, the online plan will start from the 10th of July for 7 weeks. You will get your training planned from you, pushed to you, written by Steph. She will organize all of that. It will send to your watch and you'll be able to run anywhere in the world for those 7 weeks whilst Ladies Run Club has its summer break. If you need or want or feel like you should join that 7 week plan, please reach out to Steph, sh@innerfight.com. She will get back to you, sort you out with the Ladies Run Club summer plan. 7 weeks, it's an absolute bargain. I implore all women that are not being coached, that want a run plan, to message Steph. Today's show, injury. As runners, at some stage in our running career, we're likely to pick up an injury. Hopefully these injuries are not going to be too serious and we'll get over them quite quickly. But in this week's show, we have Inner Fight Endurance's Ireland coach, Simon. He's going to talk about his injury, the physical side, the mental side of the injury, how you can help yourself and how important it is to frame your mindset in a positive way so you can come out the other side a stronger runner. Simon suffered for many years with an ankle injury that stopped him running for long periods of time. And it wasn't until he flipped his mindset that he actually managed to overcome this injury. And he's running better, faster, stronger than ever before. Let's not waste any more time. Let's get Simon back on the show for episode 183, Dealing with Injury. Bang, we are live. Simon, back again.
Off the crack.
Good. This is another episode. I don't know actually what we're calling it, but coaches are on talking about great things. And today we're covering a topic that all of you probably should have gone through or will go through throughout the course of your running history. And it's obviously injury. And we're looking specifically at the mental and physical challenges that come alongside injury and how to defeat them. So we have Simon on because Simon has a really interesting story about injury, and he's dealt with it. He's gone through highs, he's gone through lows. Sometimes he shared them, sometimes he's hidden them. And that's what we want to talk about, because I think it's really relatable to a lot of people, if not now, but then in the future, if they do get an injury. So Simon, do you want to fill us in, talk to us, give us some background?
Yeah, I'll give you a brief rundown. So back in, God, what year was it? The year I was doing the Kerry Way 2 years ago, and mm-hmm. you were coaching me.
Yes.
Kerry Way. I had probably one of the best years I've had running to date. Kerry Way was always my kind of A race when I first started getting into ultra. I tried the first time and I DNF'd after 100K. That's when I got in touch with you and we got the ball rolling on the coaching. We went through just a little over 11 months before the Kerry Way. We went through all the bits and bobs and I actually had a fantastic race. Came off the back of that on such a high. Then I went into Jordan 4 weeks later. I got to meet you and I got to meet Marcus and a few of the other Inner Fight crew. Unbelievable race out in Jordan, 250K through the desert. Again, another whopper performance. And then I'd qualified for the Ultra X World Champs in Slovenia. And this was something that really kind of hit home with me. I used to live in Slovenia for 4 years. I worked out there as a greenkeeper. Absolutely fantastic place. And just everything that had kind of gone on with my success and my running. And then this, the World Champions in Slovenia. And I was training for this through the winter. Everything was going really well. A month out from the race, I was putting in a long run and I was coming down off a mountain, Kapur, and I jumped off a ledge of peat. And whatever way, I either landed on something that was a little bit off or my ankle kind of twisted in the air. But whatever way I came down on, I landed with my ankle fully twisted and I partially tore tendons and ligaments in my left ankle. And that was April last year. And I'm only out the back of the injury about, like, successfully feeling really confident in my ankle, I would say no more than 6 weeks.
Okay. So many different ways I can take this and I want to ask you. So, okay, let's go with some common emotions then. First of all, what did you experience, if you can remember, initially, as soon as you got the injury? How did you manage those emotions effectively or not?
The minute the injury happened, I felt, I knew it was something pretty bad, but I didn't ever think that it would be a year until I'd be back confidently running. And that never crossed my mind, but I knew the minute that it happened, I felt there was kind of like this negativity looming around the race that was in May. But I wasn't too sure. It was just emotion. It was just what I was feeling. It was kind of like, you know, something so good had come to an absolute standstill, a complete stop. So the emotions that were around that were kind of like, okay, I need to get this thing to, I need to find out what the crack is and will I be able to race?
Okay. How did that progress as the time went on? Because it's obviously a pretty significant injury. And so you were back and forth. You were running again and then stopped running again. Then you'd run again and then not run again. It was sort of very yo-yoing, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think that was actually a part of me being in denial. I had a massive kind of feeling around that, you know, even though I kind of knew what the injury was, I felt that this couldn't be happening to me. I felt like I was robust. I was bulletproof. Like I can just go back running. And I know that sounds a little bit naive, but at the same time, you know, I'd skateboarded a few years and I'd gone through injuries and stuff, and I'd never really felt that kind of debilitating. Like, I remember in the yo-yo phase, I was obviously doing more damage to my ankle, which obviously prolonged the times of injury. And I remember, I think I was talking to Marcus and I said, like, what do you think? Like, should I race? Or like, and he looked at me like I had 10 heads and he was like, mate, you're not fit. Because you can't, like, why are you doing this? And that's obviously his experience speaking and my lack of. But I just remember, after Marcus said that to me, just feeling, you know, two emotions. I was like, yes, he's right, but I feel gutted. Like, I feel so empty. And that's where the kind of yo-yo started, because like I would rest and I would rehab and I'd feel good, and then I'd go running and I was like nowhere near ready to run. And I think that went on for quite some time. Like, that went on for nearly like the middle of the summer, because when you were over as well, like, I remember some of my clients saying to me, like, I thought you were injured, and there's me like flying down Brayhead with you. And this is not the positive side of the injury, nor should I have been doing it, but it was kind of like I was still in that denial phase. And until I really realized that I had a proper injury, it was kind of like, you need to peel this back, you need to stop, you need to rehab, you need to really, really take heed of what's happened.
I guess that's a hard thing as well, because you were that week we ran over the course of 4 or 5 days, we hit like 80-90K in volume. We're running down hills at 250 per K, having a great time on uneven terrain. So that almost lulls you into a false sense of security that, you know what, I can run. But then coming off the
Yeah,
back
but
of that,
even when I look back on that running, like when I look back on that running, I was not enjoying myself. Like, I had to be monitoring every time my left foot hit the ground to make sure. And like, it sucked the life out of me. It was no crack whatsoever, but it was also, I was caught up in, what was happening, and that I had to be running. When I look back on it now and went, like, it would have been okay if I didn't run. It's just, yeah, it sucked the life out of the fun that we should have been having, but I should have probably listened to myself a little bit more and not ran.
When you came to terms of the fact that you were injured and you wouldn't be able to put out the volume intensity that you want to for a significant period of time, what strategies did you use to cope with those challenges?
I guess, just to bring it back a little bit further than that, I think too, when I really realized what was going on, like how bad the injury really was, it was when I was in work one day and I was walking on flat tarmac and I rolled my ankle again, and I was going like, this can't go on. I was like, something has to happen here. And I think that's when I really realized that, running wasn't going to happen anymore. And I think that was literally just after the week that you had left.
I remember that. I remember you talking to me about it, actually.
And that got me really down, and I was kind of like, but it was a fault of my own, and it was kind of that being in denial of thinking that I was still bulletproof and thinking that I could go on and this would just get better. And I was like, oh, like, no, this is a proper injury. I walked down the concrete and I have absolutely no concept of what way my foot was landing. Like, there was no proprioception. It was just like kept going over my ankle. Sorry, back to your original question.
What was my original question? I forgot what it is now. I know it
Okay,
was
where were you?
what
What's going on?
strategies did you use to cope when you if you like your identity is I'm a runner, I'm a running coach, I love getting out in the mountains, I love hiking, running as fast as I can, I love speed work, and now that's taken away from me. So what the hell do you do? How do you cope with
Yeah,
that?
I guess when it got that bad and I realized what the issue was, I think it was really a case of me proving to myself that I could come back from it. I was doing a lot of research into the ankle joint itself, how the ankle works in terms of the mind and body shift. But obviously, I stripped it right back. I went and saw my physio again. We had a look through the MRI. You saw exactly what was going on. And I was always worried about, like, the laxity in the ligaments. And he was always telling me, like, the ligament is only like one part of the ankle. But in my head, I was always going, yeah, but like, if the laxity is so bad, like, how do you bring it back? Like, how do you get it tighter? And that's kind of how deep I went in my head. And he was always trying to tell me, like, just put hay in the barn, get the work done, and like, things will happen. Like, things will get better. You will start to feel good. But it was like, it never really felt like that because the amount of work that I had to put in. But in terms of what you're asking, like, the tools that I used, research was a massive one. So I fully understood what was going on in my ankle. I also had just taken on Interfight Ireland, and I felt that by being a coach and showing how to come out of injury, I thought would be a really positive story to be able to tell and to be able to help clients of mine that are going to go through injuries as part of running. So there are two big tools that I used. And obviously, from having such success in my running and loving what running has done for me as a whole, it was not something that I was just going to, drop. I had a good single focus on wanting to get back to where I was, and kind of, yeah, that's where I am now in the last 6 weeks. So it's nice to be able to talk about it in such a positive light after everything that has gone on.
Yeah, I think I just reflecting on what you said about the work that you've put in to fix your ankle. So you'd research, you'd go see a physio, you'd do the rehab work relentlessly. And big mistake I see, or people think, well, maybe it's not a mistake, but it's almost laziness. People think they can hack their injury, and they think they can go to a physio once a week, and that's gonna get them ready to run again fast. And it's not that the physio is there to show you what to do, but ultimately you need to put the work in outside of that 45-minute session. They can tell you if you're on the right track once a week and maybe switch up the exercises, or maybe give you a little jump start with needles or whatever they do, like, massage, whatever it might be. But ultimately, if you're not going away and doing your 10, 15 minutes of rehab work a day, you're never going to get out of this injury.
No, and I think that's so, like, so many times I've had texts or have people ask me, like, will this physio fix me? And it's like, that's the wrong way to approach this. The physio is there to give you a prognostic diagnosis of what the issue is and to give you a plan to where to start and how it should feel at the phase of the 6 week program. And to be honest, I think one of the biggest things that's misconstrued with injury as well is when you feel good. When you double down with the work, that's when you make the exercises harder. That's when you start to really challenge the body. So therefore, it's like if you think about mountain running or you think about the ankle, like how many times does that go, like in 360 degrees, back, forward, left, right, diagonal? If you've got an injury in your ankle or you're commonly spraining your ankle, it's probably not strong enough. And if you're not in your strength training, if you're not challenging the ankle more than what is actually requested of the ankle when it's running, then it's going to be at risk. And that goes for every joint or every kind of part of the body. But in injury, I think when it starts to feel good, that's when you really need to double down. You need to make the weights harder, you need to lift more, you need to challenge the joint. And I think that's so important. And it's often, like, more times than not, when somebody has an injury and it starts to feel good, the running picks back up and strength work just gets dropped.
I agree there. Can you tell me about, I want to know about monotony of rehab. So in that, the sense of, in the age that we're in now, people scroll through Instagram and they see a new workout, they see a new tempo session, they see a new strength plan with the flick of a finger. And of course they save it, they jump into it, they try it, and there's no consistency in training, there's no consistency in rehab. They might go, oh, that's a good hamstring exercise, I'll do that. And then the next day they're doing something else that's completely different. And so there's no, if you like, progressive overload in the rehab. How many sessions do you think you did that were the same in your rehab process? Do you know?
Oh, a lot. I would say, like, I stuck to probably my first block of rehab. I'd say I only did five exercises,
Five exercises.
and I did them 3 or 4 times a week, and they were the most monotony thing. They were sitting down with a band and moving my ankle like that, and that was it. And then once I could wait there and I could kind of run on flat ground and stuff again, that's when we started to kind of pick up the kind of progressive overload. And that's when we introduced plyometrics. Like, I cannot tell you outside of running how many times I jumped on one foot. It's thousands of times, and the difference that it has made to my ankle joint is phenomenal. Like, it's insane.
Yeah. I remember actually when I was in Ireland, you were going through the start of the rehab, I think. You'd already met the physio and he'd
Correct.
given you some baseline exercises to do. And you're like, I do this 3 times a week. And we went through it and we did it together. And I
Yeah.
mean, it was a really solid workout. I think any runner could have
Loads
benefited
of
from that, to be honest.
isometric holds and like the really boring stuff. But honestly, it's like if I was to give somebody a protocol of an ankle thing, it would be exactly what I did, because it was just, it was really boring. It was isometric holds, inversions with a band, like even standing on one leg with my eyes closed.
So I think a common mistake that people make when they are recovering from an injury in terms of, if you like, physical rehabilitation protocol and their mental health is that they don't stick at it. They don't stick with the same routine over and over and over again. They change too quickly. They don't give the body time to make those adaptations and heal because they're trying to put it through a different stress or a different stimulus the next
Like
day or the next week.
there's still times now when I go out trail running, like even I was in the more mountains on the weekend, like I have come such a long way, but I know that it's not like I still have this mind-body connection with my ankle that I'm still trying to reconnect. And every time my left foot lands, it's like I'm not thinking about it as much now, but there is still a thought process there that I would not have with my right leg. But I'm even noticing now that if my ankle does land kind of acutely, my body's recorrecting it again. So there is massive progression there. Whereas before, if I came to a downhill, my body would tell my legs to stop because if I even went over the brow of the hill and went down, I was just jeopardizing myself.
It's interesting. You see people as well when they've come back from a significant injury and they start running again, their run form almost overcompensates for that injury because they're fearful to put the power through maybe that leg or that Achilles. And so they run almost, they're almost limping when they're running because they don't want to put the force through the floor.
And I think that's a good sign as well to kind of, if you see that, tell somebody like, we need to regress, we need to go backwards, we need to get
Exactly.
back into the gym. I think that's a massive telltale because all you're really doing there is, like, as we said, you're not enjoying your running, you're compensating, so you're probably going to injure the other side of your body or just cause more stress somewhere else down the chain of your whole body. Like, I had like times when I was like running and I was like, I get like cramps up my back. Like I'd never have issues with my back, but it's because I was doing that, that whole limp run.
Your hips are off because you weren't landing equally on each foot and it just works its way up.
Absolutely.
How can we as coaches help athletes that are recovering from injuries, both physically and I guess more importantly, physical is one side, but the mental element is the really bit that interests me.
I'll tell you a story just about the mental side of the injury. For me, I had at the start of this year, I started to feel really good. I was putting some training away. I was over in Dubai. Everything was going really well, and I decided that I was going to enter into a race, the Marcus Mullins 80K up here. It was the first time they were going to run it. They used to do 50K every year. I put my name in the hat, and I started training. I felt pretty good. I was running trails again, and things were going well, and then as I got closer to the race, I started to get a lot of tension in my body. And I had obviously built up this massive expectation for myself for this race based on the training or the races I had done a year previous to my injury. And I had a phone call with Tom Walker because I know Tom had suffered with injuries as well. And Tom could see straight through me. He could see that I had built this expectation of myself to be able to perform at this race because I felt what other people would think of me if I didn't come in around the same kind of level that I had been prior to my injury. But unknowing to myself, I wasn't really in that headspace. I was going out to have a nice 80K run that my first ultra back and just to go out and enjoy it. But Tom said to me that, it was time to drop the expectation. And either one, don't do the race, or two, go into it with at the back of the race and do what you actually say you're going to do. But I remember during that phone call, I decided that I wouldn't race. And the weeks leading up to that, it had started to affect my relationship with Elle. It had started to affect my sleep. I wasn't eating well. I had so much tension in my body. I had to go get like a massage. I couldn't understand why. Work, everything was really affected. And after that conversation, I was sitting here, I got off the phone to Tom, and I literally felt like something left my body. I had dropped the expectation. I had told myself that I wasn't going to race. I had left it. I just completely compartmentalized it and just put it aside. And like, it's going to be hard to believe this, but I actually woke up the next morning. I slept really well that night. I woke up the next morning and all that tension had kind of just left my body.
Melted
And it was
away.
just this, yeah, it was just this surreal feeling that mental aspect of the injury and now feeling good and wanting to perform again had taken the fun out of everything that I wanted from that race.
So
It's
interesting.
crazy.
So I guess that almost highlights the importance of having a support system in place, whether it's, we talked a while ago about communities and how important having a running community is, but having that support system, whether it's a coach, a friend, a colleague, your husband, your wife, whatever it might be, to deal with and provide emotional support where it's needed. Maybe it's just someone just to vent to or give you a different perspective on things when you think all is lost or you think you might be able to go and push in a race, but really you're not quite ready.
No, absolutely. And that support network and having a coach. And for me, having gone through all that, it's on my radar every single day with everyone that I coach. It's
Yeah.
like, are your expectations, are they realistic? Are you feeling good about them? Is this something that you want? And if it's not, then it just gets taken out of the equation. It's not a part of it. It's like running is supposed to be something that we're progressively to get better at, to enjoy, not to absolutely suck the life out of. So yeah, it's massively on my radar with my clients.
How, when you're injured and you were unable to run, how did you, if you like, remain involved in running? So how did you remain as being part of the sport? Because you couldn't run, you couldn't race. It's almost like a part of your identity has been taken away. So how do you stay active in that community?
Yeah, I took, well, as I said, like it was around the same time we started in a flight here in Ireland, and
So
I took on this massive coaching
you set up
role.
a company around running.
Yeah, exactly. So that was quite difficult because, and also something that kind of played on my mind was, I was coaching these guys to get better at trail running, and I'm sitting here at the laptop and I'm watching, and I'm
Yeah.
seeing when I'm down at the training session, I'm watching them improve, and I'm going like, that's tough for someone who's also kind of wants to run and wants to be progressive himself, and he's sitting at the computer and he can't run. But other than that, like when I was coaching, I took my mountain bike, I cycled alongside the groups, and I spun back and kind of went through them. And then for myself personally, yeah, I would have got out on the mountain bike a lot, but I spent a lot of time in the gym and doing that. And like, yeah, for cardio, I would have cycled, walked, big hikes, that kind of thing. But it was really tough not being able to run. It was really, really tough.
Yeah. I think you almost need to, if you accept that you know it's going to be challenging and you voice when you're struggling, which is hard for men, let's be honest, men are relentlessly or notoriously bad at this, then I think everything becomes a lot easier. And it's if you keep it bottled up and you don't share how you're feeling with somebody or with a community or with somebody that anyone that'll listen, yeah, it's you're digging yourself a big hole.
Yeah, we're notorious for burying stuff.
Definitely.
And I'm actually so blessed because Elle is a massive runner as well, and
Yeah.
she's a huge soundboard for me, and she's obviously heard everything. She's probably the one that's been burdened with most of it, other than you probably. But she's been a huge help, and she's really like allowed me just to, vent when I've had shit days or when I'm sick of doing banded work or standing on one leg. And she's always been a massive support, so that's huge as well. And then other clients in the community as well, like constantly just asking me how I am, how the ankle is. And even to this day, I'm back running now, and when I'm out for sessions and stuff, I might get a text or I might be at the next session and they'll be like, how's the ankle? And that's really supportive to know that people care, and they
Yeah.
do, and that's great.
I think Elle's a good fit for you as well because also she calls you out when you're bullshitting. She won't let anything slide, right?
100%. It's so good.
Amazing. I think I found a stat. I'm not sure how accurate it is, but I'll pull it out anyway that it's a very varied stat. It reckons the overall incidence rate for running injuries varies between 37 and 56%, depending on the specificity of the group of runners concerned and on different circumstances. It reckons your injury rate is between 2.5 to 12.1 injuries per 1,000 hours of running, varying in
Wow.
severity. So, all of us are likely, well, I say all of us, we are likely to get injured, whether that's a severe injury like your ankle or whether it's a little niggle that is done and dusted within 3 or 4 days of rest. But I think what's, if you like, key is knowing that whenever you're injured, it's going to take time. Sometimes it's going to take a very, very long time. You are going to face setbacks. It's going to be tough mentally. You're going to focus. I guarantee you're going to focus on what you cannot do. You're going to think, oh shit, I cannot run. That's the first thing people say. They forget to focus on what they can do. Okay, I can cycle. Yeah. I can swim. I can hike. I can go to the gym. I can support this race. I can. It's always what you can't do. So you need a flip in your mindset. You need to
focus on... I think what's super important there is just... to ask questions, you know, it doesn't matter who the person is. Like if you, for a very good example, if you follow someone on Instagram, no matter how much following they have, or if they've been through something similar to you, ask the question. If they don't respond, who cares? If they do, you're one step closer. They might know somebody, they might know something that helped them get to the bottom of the injury quicker. I asked so many people so many questions. I'm so lucky that we have a really good physio here in Kilcool, in Greystones. And he was like really, really helpful through the whole process. But I definitely, you should ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask somebody a question based on your injury.
I know you said you have a really good physio, and I'm going to reference what Joao, one of the physios here, once said to me. But I know this is true for you as well. The physio is there to help you diagnose what's wrong and to give you the work to do. Ultimately, you have to go away and you have to do the work. I remember the physio Joao here, he was a client for a long time. He's actually broken his arm. But aside from that, he came on our podcast and he talked about helping people. He said, if I cannot fix someone in 3 sessions, I refer them out to somebody else because they're not doing the work, or I don't know what's wrong with them. But I should be able to deduce what's wrong with them and either fix them in 3 sessions, or they have a plan to take away to fix themselves. But
I guess I was coming from more of the point that, like, you know, just like instead of looking up YouTube and asking Google what's wrong with you, ask a professional person or someone who's been down the road. Don't leave it any longer, because it'll push your goals further away. You might lose interest in running because you can't fix it. But it's not that you can't fix it. You're not investing your interest in the right location. You should be asking the professional people, how do we get this fixed? You know, once we have a plan, we're not shooting in the dark anymore. We can find out what the issue is, and we can draw up a plan as to how we bring you back to running. And I think that's really important.
Brilliant. That's it.